the top of the Empire State Building. Best Equity Business Podcast is back.
We back.
Expansion always, in all ways. Eye-opening episodes, sales, marketing strategies, entrepreneurial development, the everyday entrepreneur experience. So get ready to network to build your net worth. You're now listening to the Pest Equity Business Podcast.
Welcome all and welcome back to another great episode of Pest Equity Business Podcast. I'm your host, Vinny E. On episode number 61, we're going to talk about strengthening your pest control marketing strategy with my special guest that featured on CNBC and NBC, Joe Balestrino. Welcome to the podcast, Joe.
Hey, Vinny. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. So, Joe, let's not waste any time because myself as well as my audience wants to pick your brain on marketing. What's one word that best describes you and why?
Driven. And simply because over the last 20 years, you really have to be driven to, you know, as you and I were speaking about earlier, is staying the course, right? There's a lot of ups and downs. There's more losses than there's wins. But, you know, at the end of the day, you only really need one good win. And so it's just being driven to either stay focused or pick yourself up when you get knocked down and just, you know, keep, you know, the eye of the prize, you know, in your sights.
Amazing. I totally agree with that statement. So, Joe, give the audience a bio about yourself, your background, et cetera.
I've been in digital marketing. I started my first agency in 2004, and it was called Mr. SEO. And I started it because I was just learning about SEO at the time. I was a really bad web designer. I taught myself how to use Adobe Go Live, and I downloaded it off the internet called Kazaa. You know, if anybody's old school, like, we downloaded software back then, and I downloaded it. I taught myself how to design websites, and people would come to me and say, "Hey, Joe, you know, how come you rank for affordable web design?" And I was like, "I don't know what you're talking about." And so, you know, as I learned, I started to write about it. I had a podcast even back down in 2004, and I just, you know, worked on sharing the information. And after about 4 years of that, I sold it in 2008. And from there, I worked for a whole bunch of companies. I worked for Upstart in Brooklyn, called Jimmy Jazz. And then I worked for a corporation, a publisher that had about 35 websites. And that was technically my first corporate job. And then I worked for a company called Yodel. And Yodel has, you know, a whole bunch of small businesses. They're now web.com. And I worked on the franchise side of things. So I work with the big companies like the Two Men in the Truck, the Makos, the Decadentals, all those big brands. And then I worked for a law firm marketing agency. And then for the last few years, I started my own agency in digital marketing, specifically for the pest control industry.
Amazing, amazing career. I want to know, why did you not stay the course? What made you decide to become your own boss, entrepreneur, et cetera?
You know, working both, like, I worked for agencies on the client side. I've worked for myself. I've run an agency. I've consulted. And working for yourself has its ups and downs, right? I there's a high in, like, chasing a client, well, not chasing a client. I don't want to say I chase a client, but, like, wooing a client is like wooing a girl, right? There's a lot of excitement into it. There's a lot of feelings tied up into it. And, like, working to get that business is a rush. And when you work for a company, there's no excitement. It's just do this job, do this task, do this, do that, sit in these meetings and do that. There's no flexibility. I worked in the corporate world and I was the only guy doing SEO for a company that had 35 websites. I was training the entire marketing staff on Google Ads. And then when I go to them and say, "Hey, here's all the stuff that I did. Here's all the things that I've accomplished. I've trained all these marketers. I've trained the whole entire editorial staff on SEO best practices." you know, give me a promotion. And the answer was, well, we don't have the money for that. And then I realized, like, I was in the wrong place, you know. And so I decided to switch over to starting my own agency and going after, you know, clients and business that I'm interested in, turning down work that I don't want. Because when you work for, you know, a company, it doesn't matter whether you enjoy the work or not, you got to do it no matter what.
Absolutely. Absolutely. A lot of those big firms, it's all about productivity. They don't care about their employees. And I totally get it. So, Joe, I was speaking to a few of my mentees that I business consult in the pest control world. As you know, as well as everyone else, I've been in business forever, and I've made errors along the way when I first started out pertaining to marketing. Now, would you share with us what mistakes you commonly see pest control companies make marketing-wise pertaining to search engine optimization and content mistakes, as well as what you were touching on, Google ad mistakes, and the most common website mistakes that you see?
That's a loaded question. I could talk for days about that. So the most common mistakes people make with their SEO comes down to how they have their navigation, right? If you have just one page that has all your services on it, not only are you hurting yourself as far as getting SEO traffic, but you're also hurting yourself if you're running Google Ads, because if you're trying to advertise a bed bug service and you send people to a landing page that has all your services on it and this kind of mentions in four sentences about bed bugs, you're not really addressing the concerns of the person. And that also ties into content, right? If you have a page about bed bugs, which you should, talking about, you know, what a bed bug is and all this other stuff, like, nobody cares about that. They care about, they have bed bugs. Are you the person to fix their problem? And you want to speak to that problem. Like, we can take care of your bed bug problems fast, you know, or get your bed bug, you know, treatment now. Like things that show that it's not about you or about the bug. Like, nobody cares, you know, what, you know, or like termites. Nobody cares that what they are, where they live, or how long they live. Stuff like that, nobody cares about. What they care about is the damage that it's doing to their home. And so your landing page should speak to, you know, get this treated now because, you know, avoid thousands or tens of thousands of dollars in property damage. Like, give them a sense of urgency and let them know why you're the best choice, because we have the right tools, we have the right experience, and blah, 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 blah. And then, you know, towards the bottom of the page, if you want to show a photo of what a termite looks like and some description. A lot of times pest control companies, they go to like just what the bug is, but you're not really addressing that whole problem. And then as far as, you know, the layout and everything, you know, some I've seen pest control websites that don't even have a phone number on it. It's like, how are people supposed to call you if, you know, you're not putting that number prominent enough. And if you're running something like Google Ads, that number should be trackable, right? So if somebody Googles bed bug treatment and you pop up and they go to your website and they see a number and they dial it, you're tracking the phone number. Now you know that that's the keyword they use that produced the phone to ring. Otherwise, you're not going to know. And then over time, as you're spending more money on more keywords, if you don't know which calls are, you know, which keywords are producing calls, then you never know where to funnel your money to. Or, you know, if you're just looking on how many calls you're getting, you really don't have any insight as to how many of those calls are actually good leads, you know. But if you're recording them and you're tracking them, you can then listen in and maybe you determine that bed bug exterminator is more qualified leads than just bed bug treatment. And then you can stop spending money on the treatment term and focus more on the exterminator term. You know, this is just an example. And that would, you know, allow you to get more quality leads. But, you know, a lot of businesses don't know that, you know, something like poll tracking even exists.
Yeah, I totally get that. You know, it's like when I speak all the time, I say it on the podcast, if you're not using that metric as far as tracking, how do you know what platform your ad dollars are bringing you a ROI on, right? So that's why I stress the metric all the time as far as tracking. Joe, in your professional expertise, what's the importance of tracking as far as using it? And why is it important to track your conversions by source?
Oh, I mean, that's a great question. So you want to track things by source. So with Google Ads, we want to track by keywords because we're spending money on keywords. But let's say you're doing door hangers, right? You decide and you're going to go to the neighborhood and or a neighborhood and you want to put out door hangers. And you want to know at the end of the day how much business that door hanger generated. If you're using your typical business phone number, you're going to just get calls. And I can tell you from experience, every time a customer says, oh, I know where all my calls come from, I ask people. And you know how many times I'm running a Google Ads campaign and people will call up and say, oh, yeah, I saw you on Facebook. People don't know. So they're just going to call. So you can't go by that. But if you're tracking a phone number, then you can say, okay, you know what? In this neighborhood, I'm going to use this special on this door hanger. And in this neighborhood, I'm going to use this other different offer here. And then you can measure which one is most effective because each one's going to have its own phone number. Now you know which one's making the phone ring because at the end of the month, you want to say, I spent $3,000 on door hangers. I generated $5,000 in business. Or if it's a loss, then you know, okay, either the offer wasn't good or maybe, you know, door hangers is not where I want to put my money and, you know, I want to put it into something else.
I totally get that premise. It's kind of like the MyPillow guy. Like if you see his commercials, like every one of his commercials has a different code so he could track pretty much which network is bringing him money. And that's where he's going to make another commercial, et cetera, et cetera. Should you run Google Ads or are there other platforms that are budget-wise effective?
I mean, my feeling is you should always test. And you should always diversify. I worked with a pest control company a few years back where he was getting all his leads from Yelp. And then for some reason or another, his page got suspended. And so now all his leads dried up. And he called me up and he said, oh, all my business is coming from here. And I said to him, I was like, why would you put, you know, all your money into this one channel or all your time into this one channel? A, because it was cheap and it was just producing it. And nobody ever thinks, you know, nothing lasts forever, right? Facebook ads were always great and now they're not. And, you know, or Instagram ads are great and then they're not. So you always want to kind of do as much as you can, especially when you're making money, right? When your business has an excess of money, when money is good, that's when you want to test so that you're not just coming, you know, you're not going to fall short if one channel all of a sudden just dries up because there's an algorithm change or, you know, something happens the way they run ads and there's cookie issues and all this other stuff. And then you're kind of left high and dry.
So, Joe, educate the audience on the different types of ads that you're speaking about, the pros and cons of running those ads and mistakes that people make running ads without professional help as far as like budgets concerned and the keywords, et cetera.
Right. So budget is a big thing, right? So Google Ads works by taking your budget and putting it against keywords. So first off, if your keywords are super broad, if you're bidding on the word bug, you're just going to get everybody who's searching for anything about a bug. If you search just two words, bed bugs, even so, that's still too broad. It can generate any kind. Somebody looking for a bed bug picture, a photograph, whatever it is. You want to be very specific, you know, bed bug treatment service or something like that in a phrase or what we call exact match. Once you have those keywords, you have to think about how many services you have, right? So you should have an ad group or a campaign for every service you offer so that you can allocate certain budget to certain things. So if you say termite service, you make more money, you're willing to spend more money on that service, then you can give it that budget. And if bed bugs are, you know, more important to you, you would give it a certain budget. But where a lot of businesses kind of struggle is they want to start a test, quote unquote, test campaign with $20 and they want to have 100 keywords. And the problem with that is maybe your cost per click is, say, $3, $4, whatever it is, you're going to get a handful of clicks and then your ads are going to turn off. And maybe 5 keywords got a click. And then the next day, the ads are going to turn on again, and maybe a different 5 keywords get a click, but the rest of them didn't. and so on and so forth. And so while you're doing that, you're not really able to collect enough data to find out which keywords are generating calls, because there's no consistency of these keywords showing. You want them to show, you know, ideally throughout the whole day, business day, during every search. When you limit your budget, you limit your reach. Now, if you're on a fixed budget, then focus on one service. Don't try to focus on every service. But I mean, ideally, you know, $100-$200 a day for a few weeks will give you enough data to determine, okay, here are the keywords. Because the goal is really which keywords are making the phone ring and producing sales and which ones aren't. And the faster you can get that data, the faster you can act on that data. Where I can tell you 9 out of 10 times people say Google Ads don't work. It's because their budget is too small and they spend $20 a day. And at the end of the month, they spend hundreds of dollars and they go, oh, well, I spent this money. I didn't get any leads. It must not work.
So, Joe, can you touch upon the types of ads? Like, is there only keyword ads, or is there like different types of ads that you should concentrate on?
Yeah. So you could use something called a discovery ad. So with keywords, you're bidding on keywords and you're going into an auction. So if you're in a densely populated area and there's a lot of pest control companies, you're all going to be fighting for, you know, the same keywords. And so that's going to drive up costs, right? Whoever's willing to bid the most is going to get the top spot. With discovery ads, I find it valuable because you're targeting people who already maybe performed those searches. So if somebody typed in, you know, termite inspection, let's say, instead of you competing on, you know, that level of keyword search, you're getting people in what's called the discovery section of Google, where, you know, Google already knows a whole bunch about you. They know your interests. Maybe you've given Google some data on the movies you like or games and stuff like that. And in your feed, whenever you perform a search, advertisers can hit you in that spot, you know, while you're, you know, browsing through your interests. And I find sticking a discovery ad there is not only cheaper, but you get people to, you know, they're in a different state of mind when they're in the discovery section. And I just ran some for my own business and the results were great. I was getting, you know, leads at a quarter of what it was spending on Google search because I didn't have to go into that, you know, state of being in an auction. So, you know, with keywords for things that I do can be, you know, $50, $75, even $100 a click because there's so much competition to get in front of that audience. Yeah, I can get it for, you know, a couple of bucks on the discovery side.
Amazing. So, Joe, I just got a question from my chat. And they want you to touch upon what is retargeting, because they hear that term a lot and they, you know, they try to do their own marketing. So could you break that down?
So retargeting is when somebody comes to your website and they hit your website and then they leave. And so then they get cookied. And when they're on other websites that have, you know, Google Ads on it or AdSense, then your ad pops up there. The pros and cons to that is the pro is you get in front of people who have, for the most part, been on your website already, and you're showing them an ad that reminds them that, hey, you were looking at pest services. You know, don't forget about that. Come back here and, you know, continue, you know, with what you were doing. The downside is it tends to wind up on websites that are not necessarily good websites, or they're mobile apps. A lot of times when I'm cleaning up these campaigns for customers, ads are showing up on kids' apps. So let's say I'm on my phone, and I'm doing a search for a pest control company, and then I give my son the phone and he's playing his games on whatever he's playing it on. They're always filled with ads. And so you get a lot of accidental clicks and stuff on that you're paying for that is not the right audience. So you have to go in there and know to exclude all these apps and all these other things that are not relevant to your business to make sure you get a good ROI. Otherwise, you'll just spend endless money on you know, clicks on applications.
So Joe, in a nutshell, give us a summary about the pros and cons of running ads.
The pros are, you can get started right away. It's not like SEO. It's not like you have to wait for, you know, months and months and months of optimization and backlink buying and all this other stuff that goes on in order to get to be seen. And you can just pay to play to get in front of the audience. So you're paying to play, but you just have to make sure that you are tracking everything so you can manage the ROI, because you want to get an ROI. The downside is it costs money, right? It costs money to make money. If you're in business, there's cost of doing business. And so if you want to get in front of people and you don't have an SEO presence, can you go to Craigslist and post an ad? Sure, you could, but you're not going to hit the people who are actively looking for, you know, what you offer. And that would be in most cases, you know, using a Google ad.
Okay. So Joe, let's shift the topic. Let's talk about websites, because like you said earlier, and myself, I've seen disasters out there. Okay. What people need to do is they need to stop micromanaging. And if you listen to my first or second episode, it's called What Smart Entrepreneurs Don't Do. And you guys need to stop micromanaging. Ask yourself this question. How much money are you losing by not delegating what you're not the expert in? That's like me asking Joe to solve a major bed bug account. So Joe, as far as websites, what should be on your website?
Well, you know, the website is, and I think business owners don't fully understand this, the website is a marketing tool, right? So in this day and age, it's weird. I've worked with companies that have been around 30, 40 years, and their websites are horribly designed. And they say, well, we have this big reputation, but we don't get any business from our website. But a guy can literally, in his basement, build a great looking website and get paid because, you know, of the way the design is, right? If the design is not on par, if you want to charge the same prices as Terminix and your website looks like you made it yourself on Wix, you're coming across as, you know, a guy who does this maybe as a hobby on the side. You're not really taken seriously, where there's things that people are looking for that they want to know when they go to your website, right? They want to see that it looks professional, that you're a real business. You're not, you know, somebody that does this as a hobby, but they want to know, you know, are you a part of any associations? Do you have any reviews? Are you certified? You know, things that, you know, customers want to know when they call you up and they ask you on the phone, that they don't just say, hey, I need you to come over right now. They're going to ask you about your business, what you've done, how long you've been in business. Like this, the second most viewed page of a website is the About Us page, but a lot of companies don't have a good About Us page. You're a local business. You serve a local community. People are going to let you into their homes. You got to give them some information about who you are. They have to be able to trust you if you're going to go into their home. So photos of you and your team, you know, your trucks, you know, just that you're real people, maybe your family that lives in the same location or in the same area. You know, you don't have to be so mysterious, because mysterious means, you know, secretive or untrustworthy. So the more that you can do to show that you're a reputable business, the better off you're going to be at getting new business.
Joe, earlier I heard you mention this word, landing page. And I'm a little taken back by it. I've never really heard of that. Could you break down like the elements of a good landing page?
So a landing page, it all comes down to what you want your landing page to do, right? So if you have a page on, let's say, termite inspection, somebody lands on that page, right? We want them to do one thing and one thing only. We want them to reach out to us, preferably a phone call, right? Maybe a lead form to fill out. But what we don't want is social media icons in the top of the browser, because what's going to happen is they're going to see that and they're going to go, oh, Instagram. They're going to click it and buy. You just spent $5-6 to have somebody go check out their feed. So we don't want that. We want clear information. We want to give them a sense of urgency. Like, you need to get this taken care of now, because if you wait, it's just going to get worse. And then the information is about your business, you know, how you can help them. And then, you know, social signals, you know, whether that's associations, maybe you belong to the local chamber of commerce, maybe you're BBB reviewed, You have some testimonials, maybe some video testimonials, stuff like that. That's going to get people to want to then take action.
Okay. So, Joe, let me ask you this. Outside of digital marketing, what do you enjoy doing?
What do I enjoy doing? Man, I like working out. I like playing video games. I like taking car trips, hanging out with the kids and family. I got kids all different ages, from 18 down to 10. So they keep me pretty busy. They all have different interests. And, you know, that's most of what I do. And learn, like read books, try to learn as much as I can about as much as I can, whether it's business or personal development.
Sounds good. Speaking about books, I'm currently in the process of writing my own book, as well as developing a CRM software for the pest control and service business. Look out for that in the coming year or so. So, Joe, what's the name of your book? I know that you mentioned that you wrote a book or two.
I wrote a book a few years ago about e-commerce marketing. I'm actually working on a new book right now, trying to get that out. Probably won't be done for at least a few more months on marketing, everything from social to what should be on websites and stuff like that. I do have a pest control marketing checklist that goes through things that, you know, a lot of what we talked about here, but just things that businesses should be aware of what they should be doing if they're not already doing it, to help improve their business, you know, whether it's adding analytics code or learning about how to use call tracking, stuff like that. And I've written a few other guides about Google Ads suspensions and things like that. I'm on Amazon. The books that I've written are on Amazon currently.
Okay, well, we'll have those links in the description. So if anyone wants to check out the checklist, if anybody wants to go cop his book, it'll all be in the description of the show notes. Is there anything, Joe, that I didn't ask you that you want to address the audience? Feel free.
No, I mean, it was a great interview. I think you asked a lot of great questions. And for me, you know, I've built my career on educating people. So I just, you know, I hope people learned a little bit more about marketing and improving their business in general. And if they, you know, if they want to reach out, they have questions, I'd be more than happy to answer them.
So, Joe, where can they reach out to as far as like contacting you, your social media, et cetera?
Everything's under, you can contact me under Digital Containment. So just go to digitalcontainment.com. You'll be able to message me through the website. We also have Digital Containment on Instagram and Facebook, as well as if you're looking to see me sit in my car and chit-chat, that's on TikTok.
All right, Joe. Well, I want to thank you for taking the time to come on to the podcast. I appreciate your time, your knowledge.
Thanks. I appreciate you having me on the show. I've been looking forward to this for a while. Thank you very much.
And Joe, before we go, I forgot to mention, you have a podcast as well?
Yeah, in the early stages, it's called the Pest Control Marketing Podcast by Digital Containment. It's you can find it, I think, on iTunes. It's on Spotify and, you know, other similar places where people can get podcasts.
That's cool. Let me know, Joe. I'd love to be a guest on your show. You could interview me. I'll talk about how it costs money because it saves money. Well, again, Joe, thank you for coming on. I appreciate your time. And again, everybody go check out the links in the description, his podcast, books, etc. I'd like to thank everyone for tuning in to another great episode of Pest Equity Business Podcast. If you want to stay up to date on how to structure and build your business, please consider subscribing to the channel. I want to thank everybody who follows us over on Instagram. If you're on TikTok, follow me on TikTok. I will follow you back. We're also on Rumble.com, Twitter. Again, go subscribe to YouTube. We're on Facebook. Reach out to us. Let's connect. You know, let's network to build your net worth. See you all on the next episode. And God bless.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to another great episode of Pest Equity Business Podcast. Be sure to share, like, and subscribe. Follow us on Instagram at Pest Equity Podcast. Join the Facebook group and go subscribe to our growing YouTube community. Have a question or topic for the show? Want to be a guest on the show? Shoot us an email at pestequitypodcast@gmail.com.